Mastering swimming breathing is a step-by-step process that improves comfort, speed, endurance, and safety. Because water is nearly 800 times denser than air, breathing technique is a major factor in swimming efficiency. Proper breathing is not just about keeping water out of the lungs. It is the foundation of a smooth, powerful stroke. Controlled exhalation reduces the time the head is out of the water, helps maintain body position, and allows faster, more efficient movement. The guide is organized into five main stages: dryland breathing training, safety principles, pool technique, endurance drills, and advanced hypoxic or apnea training. Dryland training builds the foundation. Swimmers should begin with diaphragmatic breathing, which uses the diaphragm rather than shallow chest breathing. The basic exercise is to sit or lie down, place one hand on the chest and the other on the stomach, inhale slowly through the nose, and feel the stomach expand while the chest stays relatively still. Then exhale completely, feeling the stomach retract. Repeating this for 5 to 10 breaths trains the body to use full lung capacity. This breathing pattern can improve oxygen uptake, carbon dioxide elimination, body alignment, and lower back stability in the water. Nasal breathing is also emphasized. Breathing through the nose filters, warms, moistens, and pressurizes air, and may allow the lungs to absorb up to 20% more oxygen. It can also help reduce exercise-induced asthma symptoms. CO2 tolerance is another important dryland skill. Higher CO2 tolerance can improve endurance, oxygen delivery to muscles, heart rate control, and stress responses. Box breathing is a useful method. Inhale for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds, and hold again for 4 seconds. The duration can be increased gradually. Respiratory muscle stretching is also recommended. Tight diaphragm and intercostal muscles can reduce usable lung capacity. A simple stretch involves standing tall, inhaling deeply while raising the arms overhead, breathing into the belly, and exhaling while lowering the arms. The crocodile breath is another technique. Lie face down, place the forehead on the hands, inhale slowly through the nose, and expand through the core. This can improve calmness, buoyancy, alignment, and streamline quality. Safety is a central theme. Breathing exercises in the water can be dangerous if done incorrectly. The guide notes that 11 people in the United States drown every day, and even strong swimmers in supervised pools are not immune to risk. Alcohol can increase drowning risk by about 90%. The major danger is shallow water blackout, which can occur when a swimmer hyperventilates before submersion. Rapid breathing removes too much carbon dioxide from the blood, delaying the natural urge to breathe. Oxygen levels can then drop to dangerous levels without warning, causing unconsciousness underwater. Unlike typical drowning situations, brain damage from shallow water blackout can occur in about 2.5 minutes. The CDC documented 16 shallow water blackout cases in New York State between 1988 and 2011, 4 of which were fatal. All deaths involved advanced or expert swimmers aged 17 to 22 who intentionally hyperventilated. Safe breath control practice should therefore be done on land whenever possible. Swimmers should never hyperventilate before a breathing exercise. If underwater breath hold practice is attempted, it should be limited to one breath hold at a time, kept to a maximum distance of 25 meters, and always performed under direct supervision. A dedicated safety partner is essential. The guide also notes that proper swimming technique does not require full breath holding. Instead, swimmers should focus on steady exhalation underwater. In the pool, the most important technique is controlled exhalation. Many swimmers hold their breath underwater, which creates tension and disrupts rhythm. The correct pattern is to exhale completely through the nose and mouth while the face is submerged. This creates a natural vacuum that makes the next inhalation easier. A useful progression is to push off the wall in a streamlined position, glide while exhaling slowly, add kicking when comfortable, and then add full strokes with rhythmic breathing. Humming while exhaling can help control the flow of air. Head and body alignment are critical. When breathing, the swimmer should turn the head slightly to the side so that only one goggle lens is above the water. The eyes should look sideways, not upward or backward. Lifting the head too high causes the hips to sink and increases drag. A better cue is to keep the head neutral and gently push the temple down into the water, allowing the mouth to reach the highest point for breathing. Breathing should be coordinated with the stroke. When breathing to one side, the opposite arm should be extended forward. The extended arm finish should line up with the back arm entering the water, creating smooth rotation and balance. Breathing should be quick, low, and controlled. It will always cause some disruption, so the goal is to minimize it. Swimmers should avoid jerky head movements, over-rotation, or crossing the center line with the hand. A flat body position during the breath helps maintain propulsion and reduce fatigue. Endurance drills are the next step. Bilateral breathing, or alternating sides, creates a more symmetrical stroke and helps prevent muscle imbalance. It is especially useful in open water, where waves, wind, or competitors may require breathing away from a particular side. Swimmers can begin bilateral breathing during warm-up sets, stretch the neck and shoulders if the weaker side feels difficult, start the head rotation earlier in the stroke cycle, and keep the elbow positioned correctly during the underwater pull to prevent sinking. The 3-5-7 breathing drill is another key exercise. It involves swimming 25 to 50 meters breathing every 3 strokes, then 25 to 50 meters breathing every 5 strokes, then 25 to 50 meters breathing every 7 strokes, and finally returning to every 3 strokes. This pyramid-style drill improves oxygen efficiency, CO2 tolerance, and the ability to adjust breathing during races or high-intensity efforts. Underwater dolphin kick extensions are also important. The underwater dolphin kick can increase speed off walls and starts while using less energy than surface swimming. For breathing during the kick, the swimmer should begin exhaling as the legs start the downbeat, time the inhalation during the upbeat phase when the legs come together, and take quick breaths that do not disrupt the rhythm. Brief sculling hand movements can help support head position during breathing. Advanced swimmers can use hypoxic and apnea training to break through performance plateaus. Voluntary hypoventilation at low lung volume, or VHL, involves taking a normal exhalation and then holding the breath while the lungs are partially empty. This creates a controlled low oxygen state. The guide notes that oxygen saturation can drop to levels similar to being at 2,400 meters altitude. Blood lactate can increase, and end-tidal oxygen pressure can fall to about 54 mmHg at the breaking point. A typical protocol involves repeated short sprints of 15 to 25 meters while maintaining an end-expiratory breath hold until the breaking point, usually around 10 seconds, with 30-second rest intervals. Apnea sets can improve stroke efficiency, even if they do not always increase raw speed. Research cited in the guide suggests that after 3 months of structured apnea training, swimmers showed greater propulsive continuity between arm strokes. A practical apnea set includes swimming 50 meters at maximal speed while holding the breath, focusing on stroke length rather than stroke rate, maintaining arm coordination, and gradually increasing distance as capacity improves. This can increase the index of coordination, or IDC, which measures how smoothly propulsion is maintained between strokes. The scientific benefits of breath training include improved anaerobic glycolysis, greater lactate tolerance, and stronger respiratory muscles. Studies mentioned show maximum blood lactate concentrations can rise from 7.9 to 11.5 mmol/L after training. Forced expiratory volume may increase by about 2%, from 4.85 liters to 4.94 liters. Breath training can also delay respiratory muscle fatigue during maximum effort and improve oxygen saturation and respiratory compensation points. Race day and open water breathing techniques are also useful. They help swimmers regulate breath, increase lung capacity, stay calm, and maintain endurance under pressure. The core strategies remain the same: steady underwater exhalation, quick controlled inhalation, proper head position, and coordination with the stroke. The most important takeaways are that swimming breathing should be trained systematically, safety must come first, and technique should be prioritized over speed. Beginners should start with dryland diaphragmatic and nasal breathing, then move to controlled exhalation in the pool. Intermediate swimmers should add bilateral breathing, 3-5-7 drills, and dolphin kick breathing. Advanced swimmers may use VHL and apnea sets, but only under qualified supervision. With consistent practice, swimmers can reduce breathing anxiety, delay fatigue, improve stroke efficiency, and swim with greater speed, endurance, and confidence.